This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live from Texas Rangers spring training, brought to you by ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960, and the on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing, same-day service guaranteed. It is our last day in Surprise, Arizona. We're at Surprise Stadium for Texas Rangers spring training. And Corey, is there anything else noteworthy happening today?
I think Kansas City's going to play right here.
That's nice.
Oh, as a matter of fact, there is something special today. Today, ladies and gentlemen, is the last dance, as Jared Sandler will also be done today.
What?
105 Through the Fan, and he will be now like working with the Rangers, I believe.
But he'll still be on our station.
We'll always be able to chat with Jared Sandler and everything. But today is his last dance.
Do you think we should shift this to a Jared Sandler tribute show?
Yeah, Jared Sandler tribute show today. Mike, you in for that?
Yeah.
Awesome. Let's go, baby. All right, let's get Jared up here.
All right, let's see if we can make it happen. In the meantime,
do you guys know Jared's middle name?
No.
Eugene?
Mike? Is it really?
I don't know.
All
you had to do is say a name. I was going to say, yeah.
Let's go.
I was really impressed by that. All right. In the meantime, it is also a shout-out Friday, and it is, of course, Mike Bassick's final day with 105.3 The Fan. I would suggest to you all, we all put a lot of hard work into this, and so I think it's going to be a super-duper fun show. Let's start with cut number 6, if you will, please, Alec.
Here comes Eovaldi with the 1-2. Swing and a miss. Completely fooled by that curve was Stanton, and he strikes out. First strikeout for Nathan Eovaldi here this evening.
Now, I wanted to start with this question because we've heard numerous Boach kind of talked about it. John Gray talked about it. But you've heard a lot of buzz here about the starting rotation and the depth of the starting rotation. And so do you look at it and think the Rangers have one of the top 10 rotations, starting rotations in all of baseball with DeGrom? We think DeGrom, Eovaldi, Gray, Bradford, Malley, and then Rocker, Leiter, Dunning as perhaps the next three.
Six, seven, eight.
Yeah.
Yes, but I would say this rotation out of the top 10, let's say, that I'm putting them in, even though I'm not going to be like, I've named this team and this team and this team. This team has the scariest recent injury history to its rotation.
Sure, I agree.
So, heck yeah, I like it. But DeGrom has pitched, I'm going to guesstimate, 40 to 50 innings in the last 2 years.
Right.
Tyler Malley's thrown 25 to 40 innings in the last 2 years. Kamar Rocker's thrown 50 innings in the last 2 years. John Gray's been pretty healthy for a big league pitcher. Bradford got hurt last year, so I'm going to guess he's thrown maybe 200 innings in the last 2 years. So that's the one thing about this rotation, is it has a lot of recent injury history missing innings. So how will they come June and July? How will their stamina be, and will their health be with how much time they've missed in 23 and 24?
Yeah, I love the staff. I think they're phenomenal. I really do. And I'm excited about the future of the guys like Rocker and what maybe Leiter can grow into this year.
I can give you an update on Leiter in just a second.
I think my expectations on Leiter have dipped a lot, and I think a lot of people are kind of in that same spot. So if he pops up and does something special, I think everybody's going to be like, oh, this is exciting. But, Kevin, we kind of talked about this. I think it's a lot about trying to get to the playoffs. Like, just navigating the season, the offense is going to have to carry a lot at some times in the season to navigate them to enough wins to get in the playoffs. And if you can have a healthy DeGrom and Eovaldi when you get there, lights out for everybody. Good luck. Like, that's one of those where you're like, as long as I can get those guys healthy by the end of the season, if they have to do, like I said, when Eovaldi kind of had his dip in the middle of the championship season where he went missing for a while so that he can get his arm back or whatever it is, that might have to happen at some point. But I love what this thing has if you can get to the playoffs, and that's what it's all about.
Now, I realize we're early in spring training, but there's an interesting phenomenon potentially happening with Jack Leiter. So one of the things the pitching staff talked about with Jack Leiter was, hey, ease up on your velocity leading into camp. So like January, obviously early parts of February, ease up on it. And so he tried to do that and sort of ramp up his velocity. So in his last start, I believe, did you say he's starting again today?
He's pitching today.
Okay.
And I think Bradford's starting.
Yeah, look, and just getting the work in is important, but in his last start, he averaged 98.8 on his fastball, which from year over year was up from 96.4. Now, I realize with Jack Leiter, one of the things we've talked about is kind of being steady and staying in control. So I'm not saying, hey, he threw 2 miles per hour faster. That's going to change everything. Yeah. But it is interesting to see, at least early on, compared to year over year, he's got a little extra oomph on his fastball because of the way he led up to his training.
And what you hope with that, you don't know. What you hope is when you make a small mistake, you're trying to, let's say, throw the ball on the outside corner and down a little bit, and you miss, let's say, middle down. You're in the zone, you're in the bottom part of the zone, but you've missed middle. Maybe instead of it being 96, it being 98, maybe that gives you a little bit more leeway for mistakes. That's what velocity does. Because I think if you asked anybody, now, this isn't a perfect world, would you rather throw 98 and throw the ball where you want to 40% of the time?
Yeah.
Or would you rather throw the ball 95 and throw the ball where you want 70% of the time?
Yeah.
Most everybody would say, I would rather throw the ball 3 miles an hour slower,
but get it where,
but throw it where I want to. That's going to give me more success. We see a guy like Cody Bradford. Cody Bradford last year threw the ball where he wanted to a lot.
Yes.
Because when you throw the way he does, a lefty tall, he gets great extension. But when you throw the ball at 90 to 92 miles an hour approximately, you have to really execute your sequences, execute each pitch, not to perfection, but you have less leeway. I think that's what Dane Dunning was telling you guys the other day. You have less leeway for mistakes the slower you throw. And so the harder you throw, you can at times, not always, but at times get away with mistakes that maybe a Dane Dunning or a Cody Bradford can't.
Yeah, Mike, you talked about it a couple of weeks ago about Bartolo Colon and how he would start a game throwing a little less velocity.
Right.
And then he would work his way up in the middle. I watched a Bartolo Colon game like randomly the other day. I was like, well, I guess I'm going to watch this. And I watched his velocity go up through the game.
What team was he on?
He was with New York at the time.
Okay.
But it kind of went up throughout the game. I was watching it going, but he looked like he was working on movement and location early in the game. And then when he was like, oh, I got it. Yeah. You know, he knew when he would find it. He's one of those guys that knew that. But it did look like he was just kind of working on this side of the dish, this side of the dish, this side. And then he gradually said, okay, I'm locked in now. Good luck to everybody today. Yeah.
And it takes time. I was with them in Cleveland. He was awesome. Now, he didn't really ramp up as much in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
What he would do is, because he could throw the ball in the high 90s and touch 100, he would do that for most of the game. I feel like at the end of his Cleveland tenure and then into his Anaheim Angels tenure, I think he went to Montreal first. I think he went from, if I have it right, Cleveland to Montreal, then to L.A. So I can remember him in L.A., and I was like, wow, not only does he have top 5% elite stuff, but now he knows exactly how to use it from pitch 1 to pitch 110.
Yeah.
And that is when you become Bartolo Colon or Jacob deGrom or Nathan Eovaldi, is when you have great stuff and then you know how to use each pitch individually, where each pitch has a purpose and you know how to do it to each individual hitter, and you can make quick adjustments in different situations because a pitch doesn't work. It's a double now with nobody out. Well, now I have to readjust because I'm going to try to not let that runner advance to third on this batter because I don't want runner on third, one out. But if it does, now I know a sequence that I can go to against this guy that I believe can get me to two strikes so that I have the ability to strike him out where he can't put the ball in play to advance that runner home.
So the Texas Rangers are, in fact, at least per one spot, I think a lot of us kind of agree, even the tenuous nature of the starting rotation, they were in CBS Sports top 10. They came in at number 8.
In your face.
The top 5 are the Braves at 5.
Okay.
The Yankees.
They got Max Fried, which if they – that's the thing is if you play the Yankees in the playoffs, you get – Garrett Cole versus Jacob DeGrom and Max Fried versus Nathan Eovaldi. Let's say, you know, that's your matchup.
That's tough
because I love our guys, but I love their guys too. I feel like it's an even matchup. You do not have a major advantage in the rotation at that point.
Number 3 is something we've been talking about for a while, the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, they might be number 1 to me, honestly.
Number 2 is the Phillies, and take a wild guess as to who is number 1 on the list.
Dodgers, I'm assuming.
Los Angeles Dodgers.
They have 9 starting pitchers.
Yes, they really do. They brought back Clayton Kershaw as like, hey, maybe you can pitch, maybe you can't. Thanks for hanging out.
I will say this, and I get how good Blake Snell has been over the last, let's say, 4 or 5 years. And he's had a nice career. It's a weird career, but he's had a nice career.
Yeah.
Is let's say you were facing Blake Snell. And I'll throw Shohei Ohtani there. That's really good. Don't get me wrong. But I'll take my chances with DeGrom and Eovaldi in a World Series against those two guys. And I would feel like I might have a slight advantage there.
Yeah,
one of those guys are as good as Jacob DeGrom. I will say this. I do think Garrett Cole, when he's on his game, and we've seen it, he's as good as Jacob DeGrom.
Okay, yeah.
If that
yeah.
makes sense. And, yeah. and maybe I'm going a little bit too extreme there, but I just think that Jacob DeGrom, when healthy, and we'll see, right? It's been a while. So we'll see if he can get back to the status he had with New York in, let's say, 20 and 21. But I get the Dodgers' their depth is tremendous. I mean, literally right now, you could say Clayton Kershaw is their 9th starting pitcher. Now, he won't be healthy to start the year, but
that's so absurd.
They have 8 guys that you would say at this point in their careers are probably better than Kershaw because of Kershaw's health issues.
Now, Corey, it is a shout-out Friday from the 972. Shout-out to Coach Balsack. He will be missed by all of us angry fans. That is from John in Wiley from the 945. Five, maybe 954. My computer for some reason doesn't want to bring that one up. Shout out to Mike for making me laugh every day and becoming a Tolo. God bless and go Rangers. And then I just saw another one. There's been a lot coming in. But I just saw another one, and I get the sense, Mike, that this might be what you take the most pride in. From the 716. Love the show, guys. Moved here about 1.5 years ago. Been a Tolo ever since. And Mike, learned a lot listening to you talk about baseball and laugh during the chaos. I get the sense that perhaps that Corey's indifferent to that part.
I think this is the one that he really takes pride in. I'm going to miss you, Mike. The show is my favorite show ever. The chemistry between you three, the way Kevin tries to keep the train on the track, and you and Corey acting like kids in the back seat. My favorite show ever. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's like two brothers in the back seat, and Dad's like, stop it or I'll turn this car around. And then we're like, let's see if he really does it. And we just keep pushing and keep pushing. I think that's what he takes the most pride in, Kevin.
Well, thank you, Tolos.
That's fair.
Thank you for all the kind words. I will say throughout this kind of, I don't know, the last 2 weeks or so where it's been official, it's been very nice. Maybe I'm just not seeing the negative stuff, which I've been good at blocking.
But, sure.
But, the overwhelming positive response has made me feel great. So thank you so much. And even if you were not a fan of mine, but you kept listening because you really like Kevin and Corey and you put up with my, let's say, BS you felt like.
Oh.
Thank you so much for sticking around, even if you weren't a fan of my sports takes or shenanigans or whatever. So it is humbling, and it's feels great to know that people actually liked what you did.
Well, fear not, Mike. We are just getting started. Coming up next, surprise guest number 1 will join the show. right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, live from Surprise Stadium. I hope you've been enjoying our confessional videos brought to you by Best Buy Windows and Siding. We are also celebrating Mike Bacsik's last day at The Fan. And right now, we bring to you Texas Radio Hall of Famer, sports radio icon. It is Norm Hitzkiss right here on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, lads. How are you?
We're doing great.
We're doing fantastic. Can you tell us, if you can go way in the Wayback Machine, or maybe you've just blocked out his memory, what you remember about working with Mike Bacsik?
Well, first of all, there are a couple of moments I'd blot out, but not many. Let me take you back further than that. I knew Mike Bacsik before he was Mike Bacsik. Mike's dad and I knew each other. And I was back then doing sports talk and then the Rangers on the air, though I never did Mike's dad on the air while I was doing about 15 years of Ranger television analysis. But then I'd see Mike's dad at the park with this little tyke trailing around with him. And that would be Mike Bacsik Jr. And again, I left the booth before I could see Mike and his legendary 101-mile-an-hour fastball pitch in the major leagues. By the way, Mike, that's two of your pitches added up.
It was before we had Norm exit velocity, but sometimes the gun would read 100-plus after they hit the ball.
Well, as they used to say, Mike could hit him in the same place twice in a row and not leave a mark. Hi, Mike. How you doing, bud?
Man, I'm doing great. And Norm, thank you so much. I honestly had no clue that you were the 10-20 segment here. And if people don't know, I mean, Norm is my mentor. I got to break into the business somewhat with Norm Hitzkiss. And I just remember as a kid, I would just be in awe because I would get to say hello to you at Dallas Maverick games when you were calling the games for HSE. And I'd be there with my grandparents and my dad would come up for a few minutes and say hello. And I'm like, wow, this is the guy who calls the Rangers and the Mavericks game. This is awesome.
Well, Mike, it's been a lot of wonderful years. And I have to tell you how proud I am of you.
Thank you.
When Mike broke into the business, I kept encouraging Mike that he had a real future in this business. And to keep at it, because as you guys know, making your way up in sports journalism these days, sports talk radio, television analysis, it can be a long pull. And you don't start out making much money. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of stick-to-itiveness. And that's been sort of a mark of Mike's career, honestly, both in baseball and in media. And we've been friends for a long, long, long time. And I'm not sure how the people at the ticket reacted when Mike and I would cross paths at Cowboy training camp and share a long hug in public in a conversation. But that's the business. And Mike, I'm so proud of you. I am going to tell you one thing, though.
Yes, sir.
Years ago, I did both Ranger games and a talk show.
Yeah.
Muscle up. You're still a kid.
That's a good point.
I hear you. And I don't know how you did that. It was challenging last year. Obviously, I somewhat did that last year. Not when we were on the road. It just got tough to bring. It was just I brought the equipment to spring training to do the show when I was doing spring training games. But it's like to haul around this equipment, then find a place where I'm going to do this from somewhere between 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. to noon to 2 o'clock seems very difficult. So I'll ask you, Norm, how did you, when you were on the road with the Mavericks or the Rangers, how were you able to broadcast so well?
Well, I would carry a box bigger and heavier than the one that you toted around, because that's the progress in journalism and technology. But there were some harrowing moments. And then having you get up the next morning show on Cliff, and I'd arranged all the stuff to get into the radio booth, and they had the line there that I could hook my equipment up on, and somehow, I still don't know how, Mike, somehow I set off the fire alarm at Fenway Park.
Oh, my God.
And within minutes, firemen in full gear with those weird little hats they wear and axes were on the same, in the same area of the broadcast. And I said, I don't know what I did. I did it, but I don't know what I did. Yeah, it can be a little challenging at time, and sleep was a little hard to come by back then. Mm.
The Norm, I remember working at Channel 33, and we had you on as a guest, and I got to walk you out, and we were talking along the way, and Kevin and I were just a weekend show at the time, and you said, Corey, this is the most addictive business you'll ever be part of, and that those words have stuck with me since then, because every day when I get up, I'm like, I love the work that I'm doing. I really enjoy getting up to work with Kevin, and then getting up to work with Mike, and then you get to do this part of the business. The TV business has to be pretty exciting, too. And for that part of it, what kind of words can you give to Mike that he can stick with as he goes into this TV broadcast part?
Number one, have facts to back up your opinion. And the problem for Mike is, there's too many facts in baseball now.
That's true.
I'm serious. I mean, you'll get breakdowns. Mike, you'll get them. This yeah. guy throws his four-seamer 43% for 28% of the time. His sinker 12% of the time. His cutter 9% of the time. His sweeper 6% of the time. His curve 4% of the time. And the changeup 3% of the time. Why the hell do we have to know that? Mm. We don't need to know that. But in analyzing a pitcher, Mike can do that. Have understandable facts for the audience. Mm. And right after the show, Mike, I'd like you to call me and explain war.
The three different wars, too.
There's all different.
We don't know the mathematical equation, and then different wars at different websites.
It's crazy, but that's number one. Number two, be yourself. Just be yourself. I've always thought you had a wonderful persona in the media. You have a wonderful personality. Don't think you have to be anybody else. And finally, have fun. I mean, look around the ballpark. Mm. There are crazy things in the ballpark. I mean, crazy things. Fans, you know, kids asleep drooling ice cream on their dad's chest. You know, there's things at the ballparks. Mike, you've been to Fenway. Fenway's spooky, buddy. No. The numbers. You guys know about the numbers retired on the facing of the right field third deck?
Please tell us.
The Red Sox never, ever, ever retired a number. Never. And then they decided, geez, we should put up Ted Williams' number.
Okay.
So they put up Ted Williams 9. And then a few years later, up on the same facing, they put up, a 4, 4, and a 1, which is, I think, Bobby Doerr and Joe Cronin, okay? But don't hold me to that. And years go by. And then they retire Carl Yastrzemski's number 8. And that's what's up there. 9-4-1-8. And then somebody pointed out that that was the last time the Red Sox had won a World Series.
Oh, man.
September 4th,
1918. Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Is that crazy?
That is crazy.
By pure happenstance, they put the numbers up in that order.
Wow.
And you know the little scoreboard at the bottom of the Green Monster?
Yeah.
The manual scoreboard? Thank heavens, because we're losing a lot of jobs in the federal government now. At least somebody's going to keep their job at Fenway.
Topical.
Unless an executive order comes down. But if you look on the slats between separating the games, there'll be a row of games and then a slat, and a row of games and a slat. You'll see some markings on there. That's the code that ships used. And that's the initials of the owner of the Red Sox and his wife in Morse code.
Wow.
And the reason that's important is when Fenway was about to open in 1912, it was so anticipated. This was going to be, and it was, the palace for baseball in America. And when Fenway finally opened, it was like on page 8 or page 10 of the Boston newspapers, because that was the same week the Titanic went down.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Mike, love that place, wow. Man. Love
yeah.
It.
Wow.
Love Norm. It. Mike will tell you other things, like Old Cleveland Stadium. Mike, if someone bought a hot dog in Old Cleveland Stadium, everybody in the place could smell it. One hot dog. The aroma made it all the way around the place.
Wow. Norm, thank you so much. And thank you for loving me through the good times and the bad times. You know, no matter what, you had my back, and you always were thoughtful and caring. And I think people understand that about you who know you. But if, you know, we have young listeners and maybe they don't know Norm Hitchkiss too much. Norm, you are amazing, and you're a mentor to so many. Right next to me is Jared Sandler, and when I worked with you at the Ticket, Jared Sandler was an intern of ours. So, I mean, it's amazing how many people you've affected their lives, and thank you so much.
God bless you. Know how much I'm proud of you, and please pass on the same thing to Jared Sandler for me.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much for jumping.
Thanks,
thank
Norm.
You. Thank you. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Norm Hitchkiss right here on 105.3 The Fan. By the way, if you're curious, you can listen to the Just Wondering podcast with Norm Hitchkiss on FanStream Sports, which is run by our buddies Tim and Colby Sack.
Oh, look at that.
So in case you were just wondering about where to find Norm, it's Just Wondering with Norm Hitchkiss. That
wow,
was
thank you
surprise
guys.
Guest number one.
That was awesome.
Don't worry, we got plenty more for you today. Coming up next, though, a staple of the KNC Masterpiece at this very time. It's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacsik.
Well, are the Rangers going to rule the world?
Wow!
Kicks and deals, and here's a high fly ball deep down the right field line. McKinstry going over into the corner, and it is gone! Josh Smith with a rainbow shot down the right field line. It's his fourth home run of the season, and the Rangers now lead 2-0.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan live from Surprise Stadium. And right now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacsik.
So when you guys do baseball buckets, is it still going to have the This Week in Baseball behind it?
Oh, man. We gotta.
I mean, you guys can change it if you want.
It's true.
I was the
it's
one who said,
question.
Like, I was such a fan of this show as a kid.
Yeah.
This Week in Baseball with Mel Allen. I was just like, four baseball nuggets. I love this song, but you guys can change it to whatever you want.
It's yeah. True. I don't know. I haven't really thought that far ahead on that.
Well,
I'm just
worry,
thinking.
You have till Monday.
I was thinking until today. Yeah. I was only trying to get to today, Mike.
Okay. So I figured this being my last baseball nuggets, I might as well predict the world.
Well, great.
In baseball.
Oh, okay.
If you want, when do I think the world's going to end?
Okay, no.
I have heard that opinion a lot off air.
I might have changed my opinion on that. I just don't know.
I doubt it.
There's no reason for me to know. Not God. All right. So when it comes to the AL West, before you can rule the World Series, you have to rule the West.
Right.
You guys can do this on obviously March 27th going into opening day. But right now, the Rangers went 78-84. I want to predict them to win 90-92 games. I really want to. I think this team has the ability to win that many games. I'm going to be honest, though. I am scared about the bullpen and the one-run games going into the seventh inning that they're winning, or even up by two runs and being able to put up three zeros in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. And in today's game, it is rare that a starting pitcher is pitching in the seventh inning, which means you have to have 3 to 4 guys in your bullpen that you feel really confident that they're going to put up a zero in the seventh, a zero in the eighth, and a zero in the ninth if you don't score anymore and hold on to that win. And because of that, because I'm scared of that, I'm going to have them just below 90 wins at 86.
Okay, so you got them going up 8, and that's just on the cusp of the playoffs.
Things can change, right? There can be a I can't predict they're going to trade in July for Emmanuel Clase. I don't know. I have to go off what they have right now, and that's why you can predict something right now, Kevin and Corey, and then on March 27th, you can say, I've changed my prediction because they got this guy in a trade. Or I'm changing my prediction because I didn't know this person on February 28th. They were healthy here in spring training. And now that these two guys aren't healthy and the prediction is they're not going to be back till mid-May or June, that can change your prediction in a positive or negative way. If it's another team, let's say in the Seattle Mariners lose Julio Rodriguez for the first 2 months of the season because he got hurt in spring training, that can kind of change how you see the division. So I'm going to predict they win 86 games. Now, that being said, does 86 win the division? So you can predict. First, tell me, do you think 86 would win the division? 88 won it last year.
It really kind of depends.
Where do you think they'll be?
It depends on how some of the teams perform outside of the division, because I do think this division is going to beat up on itself. I think there are 3 to 4 teams that are going to just knock the crap out of each other all the time, and that record might be a little lower to win the to win the division. So I'm going to say no. It's not because of the way that these teams, the one team might stand out.
I agree that it's not going to win, but luckily I have the Rangers at 88-74, and that
me too
is going to be what it takes to win the division. I just we talked about this many times. I'll believe in the Mariners when it's happening down the stretch. You know, like
last 20 games.
They have Julio Rodriguez, and he's amazing. They have a great pitching staff. I'll believe it when we see it play out.
Yeah, and offensively, let's see what the Mariners do. I know they got hot in the second half offensively, and then when they got back into the race, I believe after sweeping Texas in Seattle, they then all of a sudden couldn't hit again.
Yep.
Like, they were hitting for about a month to get themselves back into the race. They ended up winning 85 games last year. So my 86 wins gets them into the wild card.
Okay. Which is all we need.
I am going to go way out on a limb here.
Oh, my God.
This is going to sound stupid, and I get it. They're going to be playing in front of about 12,000 people, but they're going to have a sellout every night in Sacramento, and I think that place is going to go wild. I am going to go with the wild prediction as of today that the Sacramento Athletics
holy moly
win the division with 88 wins.
Man.
I hope I'm wrong. I'm just telling you, I don't know why I have this gut feeling of the Sacramento Athletics are going to cause a lot of problems in Major League Baseball this year.
Mike, they spent money for the first time, I think, in our life.
Not to build the new stadium yet.
But they spent it on players, which, that's how you get better players. And they already had, Is he healthy? Is their closer healthy, or did I remember wrong?
Mason Miller?
Yeah, did he?
I'd have to look up. I have not seen that he got hurt in spring or wasn't pitching in
but
spring.
But they already had a pretty good young core.
Yeah.
They just needed some growth and development, and then they were like, screw it, let's add some more to it.
How bizarre was that sentence to hear, Corey? I think that Mike says he thinks the Sacramento A's are going to win the division. That feels like such a weird sentence for a variety of reasons.
It doesn't sound real because of what we've grown up with.
Okay, so to y'all's point on how, I think, Corey, you said it's going to be beating up on each other.
He is healthy, by the way. Sorry.
I do think the Astros, Mariners, Rangers, and Athletics all win 80 to 90 games in that range.
Okay.
I don't think anybody will get over 90 wins. I think 90 easily wins the division. And what I mean by that is I just don't think there's going to be like a team with 89 wins and a team with 88 wins. And you're like, oh my gosh, it came down the last 2 days and luckily we won 90. I do think 87 or 88 is going to get the job done.
And it's
going
to be a one and done division?
No, I think that the Rangers will get the last wild card spot.
You just freaking said
so that. I do think the Rangers make the playoffs. So last year, Kansas City with 86 wins and Detroit with 86 wins both made the playoffs.
Okay.
So if we're looking off of last year, and you can look at different years, but last year to make the playoffs as a wild card team, you needed 86 wins or more to get the wild card. So and that just went away from me.
They're in the playoffs now. Then what happens, Mike? Am I allowed to ask that?
I think the Rangers could do serious damage.
Oh, my God.
That being said, they have, my opinion, if they're going to do damage in the playoffs, I get that they ran with somehow Leclerc and Spores came through in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And we were scared to death of it, and it happened. I think the Rangers are going to have to trade for a closer.
I agree.
I really do.
I agree.
And that's where, like, if they get the right closer, and let's just say, I'm just throwing out Chris Martin as a name, because I think he's going to be the closer on opening day. If Chris Martin can be solid in that role until they trade for a guy even better, and then you move Martin down to the eighth inning, that will make me feel so much better about this team come playoff time. So they don't trade for a closer. They win 86 games. I think they're in big trouble in the final innings of playoff baseball. If they trade for a closer, I think there's a good chance they're back in the World Series.
Woo.
I really do. I think that they have the veteran experience. I think that they're hungry. I think that Wyatt Langford's going to have a very good year. I really do believe in Evan Carter. Maybe it's silly. I still believe he's going to be a really good player. Yes, I'm with everybody that tells me, hey, longevity of his career is probably going to be tough. I don't think Rusty Greer had any back issues at 21 years old or 22 years old. But Rusty Greer's career ended a lot sooner than people thought because of injuries. I could see where Evan Carter will worry about this when he's 30 or 32 years old. I could see where his back at that point is just like, hey, into my 30s, it's just not holding up. To have one of those careers where you play till you're 35 or 38 years old. But I do think that Evan Carter is going to have a big bounce back year from his results last year. I do think the Yankees are going to repeat as the division champs. I like the Orioles to make the playoffs too. I think those two teams both make the playoffs. I think Boston competes for a playoff spot. The Central is tough, but I am going to go with the Kansas City Royals here. I'm going to go with the Kansas City.
Hey, that's a good one.
I think the
is that influenced by your undying love of Bobby?
I don't think it's that though. They have a good young core. They have a good young team that they've built.
Yeah, and I think that Cleveland doesn't make the playoffs. I know they won 92 games.
Okay.
I think that was surprising, and I don't think that they're going to repeat the season that they had.
All right.
So that kind of gives you an idea of, as my time is up for baseball nuggets the rest of my life.
Oh,
that gives you an idea of how I see, as of today, February 28th, I would not put any money on Sacramento to win the division. Like, it's my prediction. Obviously, I can't put any money on. It's illegal. But I would tell you, like, if somebody's like, oh, Mike said this, so I'm going to do this. No, it's a prediction. That's all it is. And if you've listened to me long enough, I'm usually wrong.
From the 469, shout out to Ballsack. I'm going to miss his crazy ass. There you go. I like that. And then from the 214, we get a non-Mike shout out. Actually, you know what? I'm going to read another Mike shout out. Shout out to Mike.
Is he cussing about me?
No, no, no. Oh. No, it was really about basketball, but the other one came up on my computer. Shout out to Mike. You was the off-brand glue that held the show together, and hilariously random times it fell apart.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm the horse.
Hey, can I? Huh. Yeah, there's one other one I want to get to. It's we'll do it on the other side.
Okay, well, on the other side, coming up next, surprise guest number two joins the show right here on 105.3 The Fan.